Lifting the ban on evictions could increase homelessness. That was the summation of the minister in charge of reducing homelessness, Dara O'Brien, today as he announced he was lifting the ban on evictions. While both the minister and the Taoiseach were keen to impress that the decision hadn't been taken lightly, opposition and indeed government TDs expressed their horror at the decision, saying it would actually lead to an increase in homelessness. Here's the Taoiseach talking about the decision at today's Leaders' Questions.
First of all, the moratorium was not effective in reducing homelessness. The number of homeless people being provided with emergency accommodation by the state increased every year or every month for which the moratorium was in place. Secondly, it was beginning to create a new form of homelessness, people unable to move back into a property that they owned, unable to move a son or daughter into an apartment that they bought for that purpose. And we also extended it because we believe that leaving it in place would have reduced the availability of places to rent and would have driven up rents further.
Jennifer Bray, do we know anything about the data that informed this decision? I mean, there are principles laid out in what the Taoiseach was talking about there, but numbers seem to have been missing.
Yeah, so effectively, it strikes me that the reason why the government have taken this decision is because they're terrified of an exodus of landlords from the market. And so they were given an example of two reports during today's cabinet meeting around landlords fleeing. So one of the reports was from the Society of Chartered Surveyors of Ireland, and they highlighted how up to 40% of sales instructions in the last quarter of 2022 were from landlords selling up effectively. Then ministers, this is what my information is, ministers were told then about another report, which was a recent Sherry Fitzgerald report. That also said that around 21,000 property transactions last year involved investors selling their property. Then they looked at how many of those properties were bought by investors, and that was 7,500. So that left a net loss of 13,500 from the rental stock. And the message that was effectively given to ministers was, this is a situation that is replicating every single day. And if we extend temporarily for whatever amount of time the evictions ban, firstly, the Attorney General has said you'd need a very strong justification in court to be able to justify this. But secondly, the big fear is that one of the phrases I think that was used was that there'd be a breach of trust between the government and landlords because it's supposed to be temporary.
Okay, well, you've seen, as you mentioned, the Attorney General's advice there. We have Vanessa Hogan here in studio, but her colleague Patrick Costello was asking the Taoiseach that very question about the legal advice that this decision was based on and calling for more detail on it. Here he is speaking earlier.
Again, once again, the AG's advice has been given as a reason not to act. The AG's advice has been suggested as one reason why not to extend the eviction ban. I call on the government to publish this advice because there are plenty of learned barristers out there who say it's perfectly constitutional to continue the eviction ban. So I call on the government to publish this advice and let's test it. Better yet, let's continue the eviction ban and test it in court.
And here's what the Taoiseach had to say in reply.
What the Attorney General has said is that private property rights are subject to the common good. He has said that it would be extremely difficult to justify a permanent extension of the eviction moratorium, but it would be possible to justify a temporary extension of the eviction moratorium. But in court, we would have to prove that it did more good than harm, that it was in the public interest in the round. And having considered it, the government formed the view that it wasn't in the public interest in the round to extend the eviction moratorium.
Martin Hayden, to you first on this. Where are people to go if they are evicted when this eviction ban is lifted?
So first of all, Colm, you know, I'm very mindful this is a very stressful time for anybody who's renting. And what I want to reassure them of is that government doesn't take this decision lightly, but does so in the full knowledge that we can't just look at this in the short term in terms of the next couple of months, but we do need to look at the implication of all housing policy in terms of where renters will be at in 6 months' time,
okay,
as well as in two or 3 months' time.
But in those 6 months leading up to before where we are in 6 months' time, where are people who are evicted in the next 6 months to go?
Well, look, we continue. We know all of our challenges around housing need to be addressed by supply. And we have used the last number of months to increase that supply. And we continue to drive on with those efforts. We saw almost 30,000 new properties being built last year. We saw 5,000 social houses at the end of the year. We've seen 1,900 since the turn of the year as well. But also the increase in emergency spaces that have been provided, the cold weather beds that were provided during that time. We've used that time to try and increase supply in as best we can across a range of measures.
But the supply of what you're mentioning there, you know, cold weather beds and emergency provision and those kind of things, that's cold comfort to people who are currently sitting as tenants in a house with a family in one particular area and are being told now your tenancy might end, or some people are being issued with notice to quit, and they don't know where they're going to go into a property that's providing them with the same stability as they have today. So where are they to go?
Well, the really important point to recognise about the decision made today, it's to stick with the policy that was agreed by the Dáil, by the Oireachtas last year. It was that this will be a temporary measure.
But I suppose whether everybody agreed to it or not, it doesn't matter whether there was no opposition to it or not.
But it's
once this eviction ban is being lifted, where are people to go?
But I'm telling you, there's additional space being provided for, and we continue to work across all the range of supports there to help people who are in that space. But what I'm telling you is this is not a long term. By asking that question and posing it in that way, there is the suggestion that this is somehow, there's an easier panacea that is solving all of those problems. You know, we had to look at this in the round and look at it as a government in relation to all of the implications. And it would not be in renters' interests that we would see this be extended, because there's huge challenges.
Let me just ask you two more questions before I go to the rest of the panel. How many people became homeless as a direct result of this moratorium being in place? Because what the Taoiseach said there was it wasn't working. But that isn't the same as saying that people didn't become homeless because of it. So how many people became homeless because of this moratorium being in place?
Well, no, it's not that people became homeless because of it. Homelessness still rose during that time, so it didn't have the impact as was set out.
But I suppose, do we know that it wouldn't have risen by more if this hadn't been in place?
Yes, and Minister O'Brien outlined today, I think, a figure of around 2,700 evictions that may have been prevented in that regard.
Okay.
In terms of that approach. But we also know this is not an intervention that can be there forever. It is a temporary intervention. It's not one solution on its own. And it does create problems, particularly in the medium term to long term, for those very renters we're trying to protect.
Nasa Harrigan.
Nobody is suggesting it will be there in the long term. The AG is very clear. The Constitution is very clear. The whole point of agreeing a short-term moratorium on no-fault evictions, these are not people who are not paying their rent, these are not people who are engaged in antisocial behaviour, these are people who have done nothing wrong, was so that we could do the work, the actual hard policy work of making a sector that protects tenants, but that also is realistic for particularly small, you know, landlords, small scale landlords. And those options were there, but we haven't done that work. And so it wasn't the right time to lift that moratorium. And I'm absolutely certain that in Dublin Central, and I know I'm in a unique constituency, I know, you know, we've the highest levels of homelessness in the state, I suspect. But there is no doubt that I'm going to see a jump in homelessness and people coming into me. And I have nowhere to put them. There is no hotel rooms. There are no more B&Bs. We are going to see people on the street. That is the reality.
Darren O'Rourke, do you know how many people were prevented from going into homelessness because of this eviction ban, as against landlords exiting the market because of the eviction ban?
Well, we don't have those empirical figures, and I think it would be important to have them, to have a real impact assessment of this policy intervention. We also don't have, and it's suggested to be a significant motivation for this move, we don't have an indication of how many people returned from abroad and couldn't move back into their properties. I couldn't imagine that it was huge numbers. I do know anecdotally from my own constituency clinics right throughout the constituency that very many people benefited from the ban on evictions, that they have notices to quit, and they have notices to quit as early as this month, and they'll be faced with the real prospect now of having nowhere to go.
And when they tell you that, what's your best advice to them as a public representative in the absence of being obviously able to offer them somewhere to go? Where do you send them?
Well, I have to say, and it's important, I think, to say it, this is completely demoralising as a public representative. I have to say I find it, you know, incredibly frustrating, depressing. It would make you angry at politics. I think it's a complete failure of politics. This, in my opinion, is the issue that has dominated politics as long as I have been an adult. You talk around the Celtic Tiger era, people living with mortgages that are unsustainable, and now this housing and homelessness crisis. And it's, you know, it is, for me, it's a failure of politics that we're back at this position. And I find it utterly demoralising. And I know for those people, you know, families from every sort of background who are impacted by this, they have nowhere to go. That's the truth of it. They have nowhere to go. And Nessa mentioned in terms of her constituency, there's already people who, you know, should be in Dublin who are forced to come out into the commuter belt areas of Meath and Kildare. And the same in Meath and Kildare, being forced to go elsewhere. But the truth of it is, we don't have bed and breakfast accommodation. We don't have hotel accommodation. We don't have refuge accommodation. The capacity is not there.
And we're about to have even less hotel accommodation, aren't we? We're going into a tourist season. Hotel owners want their rooms back. And there's already heavy enough demand on hotel rooms because of an influx of over 70,000 people fleeing war in Ukraine, plus people seeking international protection. This is arguably the worst time to be doing this as we embark on the tourist season.
Well, I'd ask a question then of people who are saying we should continue it. How long do you continue it for?
Until you've taken the policy action that is there for us to take.
Why didn't you do it in Northern Ireland?
Okay, hang on a second.
You could take 3 months, and 3 months would bring you up to around June, right? You could do things like bring in preferential tax subsidies for people who want to offer their tenants long-term tenancies. You could bring in preferential capital gains tax for people who are prepared to sell to the state. Right, you could remove sale as a reason for eviction.
Okay.
There's a number
there's
of
quite
policy
a bit in
points.
That. There are three... There is one answer from...
So there is no cliff edge here. We have, as was outlined when this policy came into place, and the decision was today to stick with the policy as was outlined and voted on in the Dáil.
There are people texting in who would disagree with that. Somebody texting into 51551.
This doesn't place in a
My friend here in Loughrea got his eviction notice today. He's on disability allowance and on HAP and has nowhere to go. Somebody else texting in to say, I'm an old age pensioner in rented accommodation. I'm very worried I'll end up, if I become unwell and evicted, I have no peace of mind. The eviction ban, somebody else texting in, is brutally unfair to property owners because it traps them into being perpetual landlords. And somebody else saying, if the government are not going to extend the eviction ban, then one of the first actions has to be to immediately ban all short-term lets to increase the supply of rental properties. There's the potential to add 12,000 properties back into the rental sector.
But there is the plan and development bill. There's the legislation coming that's going to change the rules around short-term lets. We have
what about the other tax incentives that Nessa Horrigan is talking about?
Nessa's talking about going to June. This is on a phase basis. This will continue on a phase basis out to June. We are talking about a number of additional measures there, like the rental tenant in situ, the opportunity to buy that allow tenants to buy their own home, the cost rental backstop for tenants at risk.
Final point
back to those people who have been texting in with disabilities and others. Government are not doing them any favours by extending this long term and ensuring that there are no landlords in the system.
You asked a question of the other from people in other political parties on the panel. Darren O'Rourke, you want to come in?
Yeah. So let's be very clear that the government introduced this ban and had a window of opportunity to do something. They've come today in announcing the ending of the ban, and they've announced a number of measures: €1,500 tenant in situ purchases, a first refusal, whatever addition that's going to be for tenants, and an additional 1,000 long term leases. Why didn't they do that when they announced this? When they introduced it? Because I can say from my local authority, I know exactly how many tenant in situ purchases were made during the period. One. A single one was made in that period. It has been absolutely, completely ineffective. And I have no doubt, similar to what Nessa said, this is going to drive up homelessness in my constituency and right across the state. And I don't say that with any degree of pleasure at all.
What is that first refusal proposal, Martin Hayden? And how meaningful is it? Somebody gets first refusal, the landlord says, what do you want to pay me for the house? The tenant offers them a price and the landlord says, that's fine, I'll get on to the estate agent, but it still goes into a bidding war. Are you suggesting...
No, but it's done by an independent assessor, but obviously that will need...
So who decides what a fair price is for the property?
An independent assessor, to the best of my knowledge, but that's one of a number of different...
But that would be unconstitutional.
Would the landlord be obliged to adopt that price? They can't be, can they?
No, because that right is there to... you know, that measure is about getting the engagement there on that basis. But everything we're about here is not having all of the landlords selling the properties like they're looking to do at the minute. And OK, there will always be a churn of some landlords looking to sell. But presently, what we're seeing is that there are no new landlords coming in. And in the present circumstance, with an extended moratorium on the never never, or even
but is that down to the eviction ban or other issues? Like, there are people that like, the cost of credit at the moment has gone up. There are other reasons why people aren't becoming landlords.
Absolutely, but the moratorium is definitely a significant contribution.
What about people paying tax at the marginal rate for rental income they get?
So look, what we're introducing as well will be, what's been worked on now, is a range of measures and budgetary supports for both landlords and tenants. And we have to get away from the system of demonising landlords. We have 150,000 small landlords, people who own one property, which is probably their pension fund, people who bought that property so maybe their children could have a place to stay when they're in college.
Second.
And at the end of the day, you know, we've seen a flight of these people, and we definitely aren't seeing any new ones coming
under
in. And irrespective of how much...
I just want to point.
Darren here, it's brilliant in opposition, because you can just attack this one measure today and you have no consequences.
I'm happy to stand over my policies.
Okay. But you consequence afterwards. In 6 months or a year's time, if there's even less rental activity, Sinn Féin will be delighted with that.
It wouldn't be delighted at all. And I speak as a renter.
You don't have that responsibility.
I can speak as a renter and somebody repping the long-term implications.
I might interject here just to say that, first of all, housing doesn't evaporate just because it changes hands. That's really important to say. And second of all, I actually take that point about demonising landlords very seriously, because there's a lot of mom and pop landlords in this country, and I know that they don't like to be the bad guy all the time. But the reality is, this state has created a system where most of our private tenancies are provided by the private sector, and they're being asked to act in a way that makes them the housing provider, and they do get demonised because the state's not doing its job.
Agreed, absolutely. Your
housing spokesman in your party has said it doesn't really matter if people are forced out of the market.
No, that's not what he said.
He said it doesn't matter if they leave, because somebody else should. No. It's an opportunity for local authorities to buy those properties and rent them to people.
And it is, and the tenant in situ scheme should be extended to take advantage of that. The point he made, and actually the Taoiseach made the same point, is that there's already been a significant exodus because, you know, in many cases, these are investment properties. They were negative equity for a period. Now they're profitable and they're selling them on. So I think 40,000 in the region, 40,000 have left in the last 5 years. Some of those are intent on leaving anyway. I think there's things that we can do there to incentivize them to be kept within the public system.
Jennifer Bray, what other kinds of proposals are coming from the opposition? What kind of motions have we seen going down on this issue?
Well, can I just say first, what the question that you asked in relation to would a landlord have to accept the price that a tenant? Absolutely not. Of course not. And that'd be an infringement of their rights. And I think this is the crux of the problem today and the reason why so many politicians agree with NASA, because the proposals put forward by government today include this proposal that a tenant could buy the property. If they can't afford it, then an approved housing body will come in and they would buy it at a fair price again. That's the phrase that's been used. They would then rent it back to the tenant on a cost rental model. So that would mean that they paid the same rent or less. But there is absolutely no detail being given behind this. The Green Party had a couple of meetings, I think, today about this. They were told by party reps that the detail has not been worked out and that the options have not been worked out. Basically, this is just an idea.
Like, what's a cost rental backstop? What is that? I have never heard. I helped write our cost rental policy. I have never heard of a cost rental backstop. I think they thought it up at lunchtime.
Well, why are you still asking these questions when you have a senior representative in government in the form of Eamon Ryan, your party leader?
Well, look, I think what I said today, and I'll reiterate it again, is not only do I have a problem with this decision, but I have a problem with the way this decision was made and the process.
Well,
I think we see it over and over again in this government, is that, you know, the three party leaders go into a room and they decide, and then the three men come out, and then everybody else gets told.
You've got Malcolm Noonan in the department of the minister as well.
None of those people are in the room with the three party leaders when these actual decisions are made, and the cabinet has become a rubber stamping exercise, as far as I can see.
I just wanted to find out again, this is a numbers question, Martin Hayden. How many people, I suppose, here's the numbers. How many existing homeless do we have? How many people are at risk of homelessness? And how many people are there that want to move back from abroad into family or their own properties? Because I would suspect that people moving back from abroad seeking to move into their own properties are very much in the minority in that equation. So if this is a finely balanced decision, there's a heavy handicap being given for that cohort who keep getting cited in the government decision-making process.
But this isn't just one cohort. So, you know, we know there's 30,000 people return home every year. A proportion of them own their own properties. But there's the legal implements here, and you heard the Taoiseach's comments in the Dáil today.
Hang on a second. He mentioned the permanent, it couldn't be extended permanently. He said it could be extended temporarily. We extend the Offences Against the State Act on a regular basis in this jurisdiction, which suspends people's right to a jury trial in the Special Criminal Court. There could not be a more fundamental constitutional right. This isn't a unique situation. It's done the whole time.
So what the Taoiseach said was it can be extended on a temporary basis when you can prove it's in the common good. And the judgment, when you weigh up all the different elements in the round that has been made by
government, but we don't seem to have
this is not in the common
but
good.
But we don't seem to have the numbers to weigh that up.
It is not in the common good for renters in the long term if we undermine the very rental market that they're dependent
on. But there's
on.
No evidence. And we are, that that's the case. Like, you're relying on two reports from people who are not independent.
But you're looking to extend...
Just hang on a second now, Sir Horrigan. Is that what you're relying on, those two reports?
No, we are relying... Look, there's the element of the legal element. There's the element
The legal element... Can we just put the legal element aside? The legal element is effectively, you could argue this case in court. You're choosing not to argue this case in court. And as Patrick Costello said, he wants you to do it. You're choosing not to go down that route. That's one thing. If you went into court to argue it, you would have to rely on evidence. You're confident that the evidence points in a different direction. What is that evidence?
But the moratorium hasn't worked in terms of the reducing homelessness in the time period since it's been in place.
It's my understanding the Cabinet was told that there have been fewer presentations from homeless families. There have been increased presentations from single homeless men and women, but there have actually been fewer presentations.
But you're saying it hasn't worked is like saying the bandage didn't heal my wound.
It's the counterfactual.
The bandage was never meant to heal the wound. The bandage was meant to give you time so that you can heal yourself.
And during that time, we've delivered increased social housing. We've seen the increased delivery of voids come back into the system. We've used the time and we continue to drive up supply.
But by the Taoiseach's own admission, what has been delivered in housing so far is not adequate.
No, we want to get up to 40,000 houses a year. But you can't do that overnight.
But why, when you're doing this, are you boasting about what you've done so far when, by your own admission, it's not adequate?
Colm, I'm not boasting. I'm not boasting. This is, we are here, we're looking at a situation where, yes, last year we saw the delivery of more houses, up on almost 30,000 houses, which is probably the most amount in over 10 years. We've seen a record amount of social houses in the last 15 years, and we are making progress. That's not boasting. That's giving people hope, actually. And it's saying we're heading on the trajectory to get to 40,000 houses a year. You can't do that overnight, and you don't do it with one individual measure. You do it by investing in apprenticeships, by building capacity, and we will get there. We are making that progress, and it's important that people have that sense of hope here as well. And we're doing this with renters in mind across the board to be aware of the vulnerabilities that people have in this sector.
Okay, Darren O'Rourke, the timeline that various governments have had to roll out housing policy has been constrained by the fact that for a period of that time, the state didn't have its own economic sovereignty. It wasn't being allowed to borrow to spend on this because the government was in the troika. Would anyone have done any better in that time with the resources that was available to the state?
Well, let's be clear. There's a particular way of thinking about a housing system that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in particular have had for the last number of decades, which is it's about the market and it's about the private sector delivering it. And they essentially have a policy mixture of pushes and pulls that they try and create the environment where houses are delivered. And ultimately, for the private sector, it's about the profit margin. And when you're dependent on that, in the current environment, it's not delivering houses at anywhere close to the numbers that are needed, and that's not even to look at the Housing Commission's projections, which you know make the government's pale in significance. So what we need is an intervention for the state to lead and deliver public housing on public land, ensure social and affordable housing. I see it in my own area in a commuter belt county that has a track record of delivering housing. It's unaffordable to the vast majority of people. They're selling three bedroom properties in Ashbourne, starting at €485,000.
We need a mix they're selling
four bedroom properties in excess of €600,000. Who is that affordable to?
Darren,
absolutely nobody,
that
in my opinion.
Private, that I know.
We
need a mix that involves private householders as well, and you know, you talk about ideology. The Sinn Féin ideology is to object to towns.
Well, I'll give another example. In 2016, your former colleague Owen Murphy announced public housing on public land in my constituency in Ashbourne. Those houses will not be built until 2024, 8 years later. So that model of bureaucracy of delay is not delivering for people. And you can introduce emergency powers.
We are seeing that ramping up. We're up to 30,000 houses. We want to get to
40,000. Okay, we've heard that. Jennifer Bray, the likelihood of this going to a vote, is it at all likely, and who's calling for it to go for a vote?
Well, the opposition are calling for it. I think People Before Profit maybe were first out today calling for a vote. I believe Owen O'Brien also called for a vote on it earlier on today. I think it'll go to the business committee and be decided there. It's kind of up in the air right now, to be honest with you, whether it'll go ahead or not.
I'd have to see any text of a vote. I know PBP have recently wanted to scrap the constitution, so they might be recommending a vote that would be unconstitutional in my estimation. So I'd be interested to see the text, but
let me put it a different way.
I do not agree with this moratorium
ban.
Would you
like an opportunity by means of a vote to overturn this decision, even if that meant you and other party colleagues potentially defecting in order to do so?
I think that we are unlikely to see a vote where that would be meaningful to overturn it. But I will not be in a position to vote for anything that supports
the
lifting
of
the moratorium.
Would you vote to have a vote?
Would I vote to have a vote? We're getting very existential now. You mean through the business committee?
Yeah.
Probably I would.
You would support having a vote on this?
Yeah, I do think
without
important.
Committing yourself to the text of it, you would support having a vote?
Yeah,
and in
yeah,
that event, you would
I
vote against
would.
This?
Yeah, and look, I mean, I don't think anybody now is at the stage of doubting if I would do that if I say I'll do it. But I do think it's important. I think this really goes to the heart of what is this government doing.
But you know, it doesn't need a vote. Like, the legislation will lapse.
Yeah,
regardless. And I don't really know how that vote would work, but I'm
yeah.
Sure.
Because the decision made today was to stick with the policy that was voted on by the Dáil. There was a vote on this already last autumn.
Yeah.
It was agreed by the Oireachtas, with nobody dissenting, that this would be the plan and that this would lapse in the spring because it was a short-term measure.
Right. Before
it was never
a, few,
a panacea.
Before I go to a few more texts on this, Martin Hayden, what are your own constituents tell? Has anyone come in to you to express concern about this?
Of course. I have constituency clinics in South Kildare, like all TDs of all sides. And, you know, I'm dealing with renters who have their concerns. I'm dealing with people who have, you know, been between tenancies and all of those challenges, as well as those small landlords who have their frustrations as well. And we want to help people in that regard. And we're making these decisions because we believe they're the right decision for them, not just in the short term. We can't have short term, just short term thinking.
OK, a couple of tweets and texts here. I'm a landlord and I have, and my family of property rights. Ours are no less valid or important than anyone else's. Somebody texting into 51551. Somebody else tweeting, my friend and her daughter is also, who is doing the Leaving Cert this year and also has lupus, are to be evicted into homelessness on the 15th of April. Nowhere to rent. And somebody else tweeting in about how, well, we don't have time to get through them all. We'll go to a break. We'll be back with another cost of living issue, energy costs.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.